Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Oh my goodness. Well, that was fun. That was fun, wasn't it? Little NFL in your life. Feels like the fall is here now, I guess.
It's chilly.
It is chilly here. Welcome inside the big show in the morning, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You made it. It's Friday. Congrats. One more day, and then it's the weekend. If you work the standard work week, of course, and I know that we have a fair amount of listeners that don't. And for those, I'm sorry, but I hope your weekend also comes soon. Nick Alberga joins us. Good morning, Nick. Are you ready for your weekend?
I am pumped up. I just have one question for you.
Fire away.
What did the feed look like last night, my man?
What did the feed look like?
What are you mucking while you're watching football?
Oh, I had, you know what? This is going to sound so absolutely lame. I had a salad and pork chop for dinner at home. And then I
that's hearty.
And then I had pickle chips at the bar because I was trying to A, save money, and B, eat healthy. But the boys I was with had like steak and burgers, so we did our part. But yeah, I slacked big time for week one, but I did do my part with three or four nice hazy IPAs. So picked up the slack.
Attaboy.
Attaboy,
team player. To be honest, I've been fixated all week on flip-flop guys at the gym. My attention has now changed to whatever that was in the back of Von Miller's head.
The triangle?
Yeah. How much would someone have to pay you to put that in your head?
The reverse Ronaldo.
How much would they have to pay me? I've got really low morals and real low standard of how I look. So like probably not a lot, but also, yeah, it wouldn't be my first choice. I'd say that when I go sit down in the chair, I'm not going to just ask for, spin the wheel of geometrical shapes and say, throw one of those on the back of my skull, please.
Yeah, if anyone missed it, this dude showed up to his first ever game as a Buffalo Bill in the stadium. He just won a championship pretty much, and he just had a shaved head with a triangle in the back of his head. I don't know if you're paying regular price for the barber for that. It's just, I do not know the thought process that went into that. Was it a fashion statement? Again, a million things went through my head. Was he a big Hunger Games fan? I hope you watched that show because that was a big part of the show as well. So, again, there was a thought process, and that sort of took my mind off the game, sadly.
I wonder if the hairdresser had, like, a stencil or if he just freehanded that thing. Because those are some sharp lines. So I think it's a question worth asking.
Look, I'd probably do it for like $100, I'll be honest. And I'm big on my haircuts, and maybe I would do it because I got a bald fade to begin with, so I know it'd grow out pretty quickly. But I'm $100 and I would do it probably.
Yeah, I'd do it for $100. That's no problem. I always wear a hat anyways. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
You don't
got
to tell us that. You got to just take the money.
Yeah, exactly. So that's no problem. I got this new Stan Peters hat. It's quite nice.
There you go.
Little plug in there with the CGY. It's pretty nice. But yeah, that was one of the more jarring instances of the entire game. You know, I thought it was a pretty fun game. I would have liked it to be a little bit closer when things were all said and done. Like the fourth quarter felt like it was almost entirely garbage time. But apart from that, you know, got to throw down some bets, watch my fantasy team get absolutely shelled.
Yeah, by me.
Oh, hey.
Producer Patty Duma is in studio today because he's not doing another show today. And yeah, absolutely laid the boots to me in one of our leagues. It was one of those things where I'm like, oh, Josh Allen to Gabriel Davis touchdown. I feel like I saw those names earlier today. Let me go check my fantasy. Oh, yeah, they're both on Patty Duma's team. Good. Right on. And then, of course, my other matchup is against Rhett Warner, who is Team Buffalo Bills. So he had Dawson Knox, and I don't think he had Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs, but he had a bunch of players as well. It was not a great day fantasy-wise. The betting was also average at best. Didn't hit the over, which I was hoping for. Did not hit the Rams plus points, which I had parlayed together. I did a little bit of an odds boost through my particular betting site, and that went well with a Bills win, a Gabe Davis 85-plus yards, and then Devin Singletary to go over 45 yards. So that was nice. But apart from that, it wasn't the victorious first day of the season that I had hoped. Sometimes you get.
Is it hard to strategize for a team that's fresh off a Super Bowl? Like, you know, everybody likes to talk about hangovers, but to me that looked like a team who was basking in the glory of raising their banner last night and taking nothing away from Buffalo, but like they were lethargic in the first quarter and never really got cooking after that. And again, I thought Josh Allen was fantastic too. I mean, just look at his numbers and that Buffalo D. I mean, they've made, you know, strides in the last couple of years to be one of the best defenses in the league for a reason. And to do that to Matt Stafford, 3 picks, 7 sacks, like it was domination, but I think I lend some of it to the fact that, you know, it's a team raising their banner and it seems to happen more often than not in pro sports where there's a bit of a letdown. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think there definitely is. Listen, I think there's a lot of questions around kind of Matt Stafford and the offense for the Rams. Like when you allow 7 sacks, you immediately have some questions as to what's... Now, granted, first week of the season, I find that offensive lines take a little bit of time to gel. I subscribe to the idea that defenses usually have a bit of an edge early on in the season because you can kind of play with your instincts a little bit more on defense, whereas on offense, you really have to kind of be strapped into the game plan and working cohesively as a unit, whereas I find on defense, there's maybe a little bit more room for instincts to kind of take over early on in season, and it felt like that was the situation yesterday. You know, it wasn't just Matt Stafford who was getting sacked left, right, and center. It was a similar situation for Josh Allen as well, who was sacked twice for 5 yards. So it wasn't, you know, to the same extent, but both groups, I think, will go back and look at the film and say there's certainly some things that we can improve on and move forward with. But, you know, it was Josh Allen coming out, the stallion himself, just cruising, throws the 3 touchdowns, runs in another. He does have 2 interceptions. But I thought that he played really well, just shy of 300 yards passing, 26 for 31 as well. They're a good team, and I like what they've done adding. Like, Gabe Davis going to have a little bit more of a role this year to kind of offset Stephon Diggs. That was a fun offense to watch yesterday with the Bills and their kind of group of running backs.
To quote Gordon Bombay, that wasn't a win. That was a statement. I know it's the first game, but you're playing the defending champs. Everybody seems to be betting on Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. Josh Allen potentially to win league MVP, and that's the way you come out. Like, I thought it showed me something. It was more impressive than, say, like, you know, a 2-3 point win, the way, you know, it was laid out, handicapped, that I think it was Buffalo 2.5, right? And I hope you took Buffalo and the points because... Again, I thought it was thorough domination, but your D leads everything. And again, 3 picks, 7 sacks, 2 from Von Miller in his debut. I was impressed. You know, I had it for the most part on in the background, but it just seemed like Buffalo had control of the game from the opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. And that's a rarity to begin with, especially the first game of the season, but also against the defending champs. I do think it was a statement win, do you?
Yeah, it felt like it. It felt like the Bills are kind of one of those teams. And listen, we talked to Chris Tasker yesterday. And he was saying, like, this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. I had asked him about any holes on the team, and he said, no, not really. They've done a lot of good things over the course of their offseason to add to that group and fill any holes that they thought were maybe exposed in the offseason. Now, the major key, and as it is to any NFL team throughout the course of a season, is to make sure that you stay healthy and get through the entirety of the season. But overall, first game of the season, I would agree. Statement game, like offensively, we already trotted out Josh Allen's numbers for you. Davis looks legit. We know Stephon Diggs is legit. You know, maybe a little bit of a question at running back after the early fumble for the newcomer, but I don't know if I'm going to be too worried about Mr. Cook there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a good start to the season. Like I said, I would have liked to see it a little bit tighter, and I would have liked to see a few more of my bets hit. But apart from that, I was very happy to see it return, and it just made me eager for this tilt that's going to come up. Well, all the tilts coming up on Sunday, really, the entire slate. That's the fun part of the CFL, or pardon me, the NFL season. You get the Sunday, it's jam-packed. You'll watch your fantasy team win or lose. And then maybe Monday's relevant to you, but for the most part, it's just stapled in for that Sunday slate.
You don't want to hang your week on Monday, that's for sure. No. But even my guy, Cooper Stanley Kupp, like he, you know, you don't even notice him sometimes. Next thing you know, he's got one touchdown, 128 yards, 13 receptions. Like I think he showed last night why he's just such a premier player in the league, where even in a game where your team is thoroughly outplayed, losing 31-10, so you lose by 21 points, and still, I think you make an impact for those fantasy rosters out there. I think he proved his worth, eh?
Yeah, he definitely did. Now, the one thing I was definitely wondering about this Rams team is, what is Cooper Kupp's season going to look like after they added another legit weapon in Allen Robinson? We found out yesterday that it's going to be the Cooper Kupp show, and if you drafted Allen Robinson, like I did, you're probably going to be in rough shape, at least if, you know, the trends from yesterday continue throughout the season. I know at the end of the first half, A-Rob was only sitting there with one catch and 13 yards, and I don't believe there was a whole lot more after that as well. So it was the Cooper Kupp show, and you love to see it. And Matt Stafford airing it out and doing the whole thing, even though he was kind of, you know, he's got this elbow tendonitis that we're worried about. But you saw Cooper Kupp for 128. Like, that is significant.
It's more so because, like, they were doing nothing, right? And then you look up and you're like, what? Again, it just shows you the value of the player and how good he truly is. But do you have any locks for the weekend, by the way? I know we're moving past the Thursday nighter and into the full slate coming up on Sunday.
I haven't really looked at the slate too much, honestly. It's one of those things that I usually kind of plop myself down Sunday morning and try and dive into a lot of the type of injury reports and those type of things. But I'll tell you what, by what you want to talk about, I'll have a few favorite lines for you. How about that?
I'm into it because I'm going to dive in. I didn't dive in last night, sadly. Didn't restock the account with some funds to make some bets. Long story short, a couple weeks back when I was recovering from the old tonsillectomy, got a bit in too much to the roulette, and pretty much all the winnings from hockey season down the drain. But it happens.
Virtual blackjack gets me.
One of the guys I was sitting with yesterday said the exact same thing. He was like up 600 bones, and he whittled it away on audio computer blackjack.
Yeah,
it wasn't that much. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, it's just deadly. It's dangerous, man. It's a dangerous situation.
Dude, especially when you're sitting your ass on the couch eating popsicles and soup, and I just had nothing to do. I'm like, hey, let's try to win some money to prep for hockey betting season. And then next thing you know, there's a big fat zero on my account. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm taking a step back. I might get involved a bit more in football. You guys know I'm not heavily invested in football, but I take the advice of those who are.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know on Sunday what might pop into the old account, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's time for a stock up. A little fill up your bucket, as they like to say.
You know, because the time of year, you guys ever get those emails? Hey, if you put this in, we'll match up to 75%. It's like, are you reading my mind or something?
Yeah. It is that time of year where, you know, usually by Super Bowl, I have to do one more re-up just for the Super Bowl. But I've done my top up for the season, and we've gone down a little bit to start. But hey, listen, we're gonna battle on Sunday, and we're gonna be right back in the green. What could go wrong? It always works out, right?
I admire the positivity. So this in general is a big day for all of us. It's our final show together, first and foremost. And number two, most importantly, Cobra Kai season 5 is out today. Tell me you watched that show, please.
No, I don't. No. It's one of those shows that I've never...
it's incredible.
It's never been any... I have had no drive to go watch Cobra Kai. It's been strange. Like, family loves it. Text line loves it. Nah. That's kind of where I come down.
Yeah. You got to be into the cheese pretty much because I like cheesy viewing. Like, I love Mighty Ducks. That's cheese. Cobra Kai is right next to it. So if you like mediocre acting, I think it's perfect for you. Maybe that you're the cinema guy. So I totally understand. You have above and beyond par, right?
But I also am like such a sucker for all the Marvel and like fantasy yeah. stuff that's out right now too. Yeah. So
yeah.
I don't know
so much you can consume, right?
Yeah, I think yeah. that's more of it. And yeah. I don't know. I like a lot more of the real kind of out there sci-fi fantasy yeah. stuff. Like Cobra Kai, like this is a little unrealistic, mm-hmm. but it could happen.
A little.
and it's slightly unrealistic, I find. And yeah. it just doesn't hit the same for me.
To each their own. I thought I would bring that up because I didn't even realize, like, you lose track. You're watching all these shows, mm-hmm. and I know Ozark just ended. I was in love with that show. Like, you lose track of time. I think the last season 4 of Cobra Kai came out last December, and it felt like it was yesterday, and now season 5 is here. So I saw this yesterday. I was completely jacked. I'm like, let's cancel my weekend plans to binge watch this show, but I got a lot of free time coming up, so I'm going to dive into that. And we got to go over what we were conversing about last night via text, right? Like, this was hilarious to me. So
yeah.
You take the floor.
Well, I texted Nick yesterday because we're trying to plan out the show and we're getting some guests and some people are saying they're in and they're not and all that type of nonsense. And I said, yeah, here's what we're going to have to do to start the program. We'll do our favorite Queen memories to do the show open. And we went back and forth, and Nick talked about how he watched too much of The Crown, and then he asked me for an example of a memory, and I went, what? I don't have any favorite Queen memories? We're not
Dude,
going
I can't
to do
sarcasm
that.
Sarcasm in a text.
Oh, yeah, hanging with Ralph Klein back in 2005?
Yeah,
don't remember
sure.
that?
Sure. No, I don't remember that, Patrick. I was 12, and I cared even less about government and its going on than I do
okay,
even
so,
now. So.
So the backstory, boys, too. I was like freaking out, jamming up. It's my last day with Rosie. I want to make it a good one. I'm like, oh no, is this getting political or something? So I call my dad. I'm like, hey, my co-host wants me to give, you know, a favorite memory of the Queen. Did I miss something? Because I'm not big into politics. I understand the Queen and, you know, the symbolic nature of it to our country and all that. But I was like, what did I miss? And he's like, well, not much. And I'm like, oh, true. And then we were texting Rosie and you're like, I was just kidding. And I'm like, oh, it's so hard to gauge sarcasm
yeah.
via text, especially when somebody has an Android, by the way. So,
okay,
it was,
that seemed unnecessary.
I thought
when you see that green pop up, you're like, oh no.
Oh, like this guy, triggered. Who knows if he's for real or not.
This guy's got a story.
So I'm like Googling favorite Queen memories Canada, and I'm like, dude, there's nothing. She visited a plant. I don't know if she visited the Commonwealth Games in Edmonton. Great.
She rolled through here last in 2005 when Alberta turned 100.
Okay,
thanks.
So nice.
That's a fun fact. Yeah.
Fun fact. Yeah,
that's a more you know type of thing.
There you go.
She dropped a puck at a hockey game.
Yeah, her
ago,
and Gretzky were together at a Vancouver Canucks game. I think they were playing the Sharks maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I wonder what she felt about the Sharks. Was Artis Erbe there? That's the question.
I think there's a... Mike Ricci was.
Oh, what a schnoz. Love Mike Ricci.
There might be a picture of Ricci and the Queen, honest to God. I swear, I want that to be a thing.
Hi, Sharks.
So long story short, I feel better about life knowing I didn't piss off Rosie before the show. I thought you were just some big Queen supporter.
No. Okay. I
yeah, to confirm. Yeah, there's a picture of her dropping the
no
puck
way.
With it's Marcus Naslin and Mike Ricci at center ice.
Wow.
This is after Canada won the gold medal in 2002. Cassie Campbell's there as well.
Nagano?
No, this would have been Salt Lake.
Oh, Salt Lake, yes, yeah. Yes.
I remember being in the Saddle Dome and people chanting Ricci's ugly when it wasn't even a Sharks game.
That's unbelievable.
That came about during the 2004 Western Conference Final.
Yes, it did.
Dude, I can respect the Italian schnoz. I got one, too.
Yeah.
He's handsome in my books. I love Mike Ricci.
Sure, yeah. To each
but,
their own.
Yeah. That was behind the scenes for the final big show with Rose and Alberga. I was like, oh no, did I royally annoy this guy before our last show? And I was like freaking out. I was like texting people. I'm like, did I miss something? I'm like, the Queen died, and I know it's rough for England and all that and the world, and she was great, and everybody, and Trudeau's crying and all this stuff, but I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah. No, so I was right about the same. I've been kind of surprised that how many people, like, I learned a lot. I learned the Irish mm-hmm. really don't like the Queen. I learned that yesterday. I also, well, I knew it, but
the South Irish.
Okay, sure. But I also found out that there was a lot of minorities that don't like the Queen, but I already knew that, and they were quite vocal about it as well. It was an interesting day on Twitter. Yes. There was like the individuals who were like legitimately sad and quite broken up about this. And then there was, I would say an unprecedented amount of trolls who were kind of out and about and getting their licks in. And then there was just like some strange instances that you kind of saw, like, obviously the BBC is covering this in a big way. The Queen has passed away. This is a pretty big deal, to a lot of people. So the BBC had to tell people, and one of their channels is an electronic music channel out in, you know, Wales or wherever it might be. So, they're playing their tracks. But they have to get their breaking news bulletin in. Here's a little snippet we found on the internet yesterday.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
Just right back,
right back into it.
Okay. Live this weekend on the stage.
They did the same thing for Prince Philip too when he died. They're just like, whatever.
They're just these little 10-second bulletins. But like if it was our station, you're like, okay, I guess that kind of fits in, no problem. And you would hear us talking about the Bills and the Rams or whatever, and you know it would have a certain level of effect. But when it's the EDM channel and.
Now back to your regularly scheduled
program. This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
Man, oh man. I miss my calling in life, guys. I should have been a DJ. We shouldn't laugh. Somebody passed away, yes.
No, we shouldn't laugh. But there are some funny instances that came out of this. And also... yeah, sad. She was 96.
What was your running favorite monarchy in all of the UK? 7 years.
She was alive the last time the Leafs won the Stanley Cup, right? So
yeah,
she was.
She would have seen that. Good for her.
Did you see the email that they sent out yesterday? Like the standings of the NBA and the NHL the day that the Queen Elizabeth took over the monarchy?
I don't think I deleted it. I think I held it.
52.
Yeah, so when she took over, the night prior, Milwaukee had beat Fort Wayne 75-64 in the NBA. Indianapolis got by Philadelphia 94-85. But listen, Indianapolis was still in rough. They were only 24-23 after the win and third in the Western Division. If you look at the NHL, Detroit having a great year, 28-11-10, with only 90 goals allowed. They were just running roughshod over the league. Boston had beat Chicago 5-0 the night before, and New York was going to play Toronto. So that's from the day Elizabeth II ascended to the throne February 6th, 1950.
The Wings were a power. Like they swept the Habs that year in the Cup final.
Some good players, I heard.
Oh, I mean, Gordie Howe. Hey,
can we bet on the funeral? Can we bet on the funeral?
Okay.
Is there prop bets on Prince Harry and Meghan Markle showing up to this? Like, are they in an Uber right now showing up? And they're like, hey, we're back.
We're back, baby.
Back in the fam. Start paying us.
If you're betting on that...
You are a degenerate!
You are a degenerate.
Oh, that's the line you're going to draw. Line. That's when I become a degenerate.
Elton John will not make a song for
you. You can bet on NFL preseason, Hall of Fame game, all that you want, but when you start betting on the Queen's funeral, you got a bit of a problem.
I'm prop bet guy, so Super Bowl comes around, I want like a 7-minute anthem. That's what I'm betting on the over, you know?
Just really drag out God Save the Queen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I guess we'll have to change to now God Save the King.
Or, you know, there was also the people who believed that Ding Dong the Witch is Dead would have been a track you could play as well. But hey, God Save the Queen is the one.
Also, people are questioning what happens to our money, like the quarter, like the coin. You have to remove her face and put Charles's head on it.
Do we have to?
I don't know. That's the thing. There's no law against it.
Do we have to do anything for
the monarchy anymore?
We don't
have to do a damn thing, really.
Frankly.
I mean, we're a member of Commonwealth. That's about it.
Yeah. But there's like a lot of water in between us. It would take them forever to get over here and try and deal with any situation. Yeah, humongous pool. So
we're thought provoking today. I like this, guys. So spearheaded by Rosie's text last night, and we're in this conversation talking about gambling and the funeral.
All
so.
Right. So, favorite Queen memory, Nick? What is it?
Great band. Great band.
Wembley, Live Aid, 86.
Live Aid, 86.
Yeah,
no.
Now we're talking.
Not low hanging fruit.
Mustache going.
Low hanging fruit, fellas. But still, very sweet. Listen, we'll take a break. Morning Report is next, and a lot less on the monarchy. That I will guarantee. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Let's get into the Morning Report. It is time for the Morning Report because there was some things that happened yesterday to tell you about. The Morning Report is brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes. You can find them on 51st Avenue and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
I'm Matt Rose.
Matt Rose.
Yes, sir, and we get into it. Good morning, friends, and welcome inside the Morning Report. NFL season is underway. We got some injury designations for the Stamps. The Jays are down in Texas, and Caden Primo signed. We'll get into it with that. It's a breadcrumb, but a quick note from the NHL. The Canadiens did sign Caden Primo. The 22-year-old netminder gets 3 years on his second contract, an $890,000 cap hit for the 22-year-old. Nick, you had an interesting theory on how Ken Hughes has handled all this for the goalies as we shut down yesterday's show. Care to rehash that for us?
Yeah, so it's no longer a theory, by the way. I happen to know Jake Allen's best friend. They're nowhere close to an extension. They haven't talked since early summer. I feel my theory, and it's probably bang on, but this was planted to get Primo to sign that contract. And if so, I think that's baller work by Kent Hughes.
It would be. Gets his young goaltender signed. He'll probably be in Laval for a lot of this season. Maybe the backup. Montembeau is still there. So that'll be an interesting wrinkle to see how the Habs deploy their two young netminders. Primo's 22. Montembeau is 25. Primo signed for 3 years. Montembeau's got two more seasons on a $1 million cap hit. Also, we're just 1 week away from a Flames game. It's a Young Stars game in Penticton that will only be streamed, but we are 1 week away from a game with players who will be wearing the Flaming C. So we're very much excited for that.
Yeah, baby!
Also,
tomorrow, baby.
Yes, sir. Also, the Hitmen have their first preseason game over at Seven Chiefs. 7 o'clock start tonight as they face Red Deer, and that's free to the public if you wanted to go watch that as well.
Let's do it.
Elsewhere, it was the beginning of the NFL season.
Football's here. It's like daddy's home.
We
drop
had
forever.
So good. That is going to be how we kick off the NFL basically every morning report until time ends. We played these yesterday as well. We had the Bills.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go, Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna.
And then we also had the Rams fight song, but I had a couple people text me and say, that's not the Rams fight song. Get this one on instead. So how about this?
Okay, I can get into this.
Oh, yeah, I've heard Ram It before. I know that one. It's kind of like San Diego Superchargers.
Wait, what's it called?
Ram It.
It's 5 minutes long, Nick.
We interrupt this to tell you the Queen has passed. Imagine.
I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming anymore.
The BBC
this
is
BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
I don't stop coming till I put him on the back.
Why do you
the moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special team.
So that was down at SoFi Stadium in L.A. Chris Collinsworth, Mike Tirico.
No sliding.
Here's a guy. Great start for the Bills. They got on the board near the 10-minute mark of the first.
And Allen will boot, and he'll flip it wide open. The man who scored all the touchdowns in the playoffs, Gabe Davis. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Davis waltzes into the end zone for a 26-yard TD, a 9-play, 75-yard drive to start the season for Josh Allen and the Bills. Ends with that touchdown, but then it got a bit sloppy. Allen threw a pick on the next drive, but then the Rams went 3 and out, so no points off the turnover. Then James Cook, the new running back in Buffalo, also the younger brother of Dalvin Cook, Patty Dumont tells me, so we'll have to fact check that. He would fumble for Buffalo. 2 plays later, Matt Stafford threw an interception. So just turnovers all over the place leading into the second quarter where the Bills would wake up. They kick a long field goal. They go up 10-0. It was the Rams, though, going on a long 11-play, 60-yard drive that would end in their first points of the season.
Cup bottom of the screen. Stafford looking that way. Throwing that way. Cup puts the toes down. In for the touchdown. Cooper Cup does it again.
Tippy tapping the toes in the end zone. First touchdown of the season for Cup. A 4-yard strike from the red zone from his boy, Matty Stafford. After the point after was kicked, 10-7 for the Bills. The Rams would actually tie the game, kicking a field goal as the half ended, following yet another pick for Josh Allen. Three turnovers for the Bills in the first half, just one for the Rams. But they went into halftime all tied up. The Bills, they would go back in front on their first drive of the second half.
First and goal. Bills driving for the lead, and Allen throws. Touchdown inside. Isaiah McKenzie mishandled it earlier.
This time, it's a 7-yard touchdown grab after an earlier mishandle by Isaiah McKenzie. That put the Bills out in front. The Rams would answer with the drive ending in a punt, so right back to work for the Bills and Josh Allen.
Third and goal. Allen keeps it, pumps, runs, breaks the plane. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen took care of it himself.
Allen looks all over the end zone, can't find something he likes, takes it himself 24-10 early on in the second half. Things continue to get worse for the Rams. A second interception thrown by Matt Stafford would lead to more points for Buffalo.
4-4, Allen stepping up and now floating it downfield, and Diggs is behind the secondary, stumbles, but brings it in. Buffalo touchdown. Stephon Diggs extends to a 3-score lead.
Third and medium, 53-yard touchdown grab for Stephon Diggs. That's just something that he'll do to you. Third touchdown thrown by Josh Allen. First one to their star receiver in Diggs. That made it 31-10. That was pretty much it. The Rams would throw a pick. The Bills would fumble. The Rams turned it over on downs, and then the game ended. 31-10, the final score. Bills go to 1-0, and how about this? The Rams, 0-1, Sean McVay, under 500. For the first time in his
regular season career, it's the first time he's ever had a below 500 record during
a regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
6 years.
Pretty good run of being a head coach.
Pretty dang good. Got paid yesterday, too, along with him and Les Snead.
Yes, they did extend Les Snead and McVay before the game. So that's going to be the compliment in LA for quite some time. And I think a lot of Rams fans are probably going to be okay with it. Sunday's got a pretty busy slate. We'll go through these games for you. Saints-Falcons, 49ers-Bears, Steelers-Bengals, and a big divisional clash. Eagles and Lions. Love when Dan Campbell's on the field, so we'll keep an eye on that one. Patriots-Dolphins, Ravens-Jets, Jaguars-Commanders, the new Washington name.
Browns Jaguars and upset. Watch it. That's one, Nick. That's Jaguars 2.5.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Yep, put that down. Browns and Panthers, Colts and Texans. That's your first slate. Then you got the Giants and the Titans, Packers, Vikings, Chiefs, and Cardinals. That one's got the highest total for the week at, I believe it's 53.5 yesterday.
That's going to be fun.
That'll be a high-scoring game. Raiders and Chargers, also another one that should prove to be a bit of a doozy
week
in that second set.
Rematch from last year.
Yes, sir. And then Buccaneers-Cowboys in Sunday Night Football, which should also be an absolute doozy. Quick CFL note for you.
That octopus certainly is all about business. He takes care of business, and he's a good leader for our team.
That octopus is a good leader. Stampeders are headed up the QE2 to battle the Elks tomorrow. Kamar Jordan questionable with a thigh issue. Had to go for some imaging on Thursday. They're unsure if he'll play. Trey Odom Dukes could draw into the lineup if KJ can't go. They'll also be without long snapper Aaron Crawford due to illness. I'm interested to see how they replace him, as that kind of came up late in the week and we haven't seen any signings. Depth charts will come out around 9 a.m. Friday morning. The other thing that will not be on there, or the other change that we will see, is Natrell Jamerson, defensive back, shoulder injury. He's going to miss, so another shuffle to the secondary incoming for the Stampeders. We'll switch it up to the major leagues.
Yeah, I felt something in my butt.
Awfully quiet on Thursday. The Yankees lost to the Twins. The White Sox smoked the A's, so a smidge of movement in the AL Central. The Twins and Sox are now both a game and a half back of Cleveland for the top spot in the AL Central. In the wild card race, everybody was idle. The Rays are still in the top wild card spot. They are a game ahead of the Mariners in second and a game and a half ahead of the Jays in the third wild card spot. Baltimore, 4.5 games back, but all four of those teams were off on Thursday. So I got Patty Dumas to drum up some fun facts for us.
Okay.
For Toronto, maybe this club has figured it out, extending their lead on Baltimore for the final wild card spot, but still, they have three easier games on the schedule this weekend. They'll begin a three-game set where they get to visit their former second baseman, Marcus Semien, and the Texas Rangers. At 76-60, this is the most wins for the Blue Jays through 136 games since 2016, when they were 77-59. The club also playing quite well on the road. How about this? 12-2 in their last 14 road games. It's the best road record in the MLB since August the 18th. Tonight's matchup, of course, you can hear it right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan, 6 o'clock start following Flames talk. Ross Stripling for the Jays, 7-4, a 3.03 ERA. He'd be up against Dane Dunning, 3-8, a 4.37 ERA, but 119 strikeouts on the season. You can also watch this one on Sportsnet West. This is a big series, Nick.
It's massive, right? Because they got Tampa coming up. You don't want to look ahead. And I think anytime they play Texas, and we all know in the last couple of years that they've met up in the postseason, a couple of years removed. I mean, Texas always plays them well. And certainly this time of year, never underestimate the role of spoiler, certainly, too.
As for the Rays, full credit to Kevin Cash. They may play in a crap shack, but the team is the farthest thing from it. The Rays are a season high 19 games over 500. An AL best 22-10 since August 1st. That's the fourth best mark in the league, just behind the Cardinals, Dodgers, and Braves. The Rays are 34-26 against the AL East, but are, get this, 22-11 against AL East opponents since July 2nd. They started 12-15 against their divisional rivals. The Rays will begin a three-game set in the Bronx tonight. They have 18 more games against AL East opponents, including 9 with the Jays, including a 5-gamer at Rogers Center starting on Monday, as they're going to make up a couple of rained-out games. One stat we'll leave you with, full credit to this amazing pitching staff. They have a 3.27 ERA this season, which just happens to trail only the Dodgers and the Astros.
How dare you besmirch the fine name of Tropicana Field.
That one, so eloquently written, was definitely a Patty Dumas. That one, I took it.
That was a Crap Shack special.
I did not edit it. That was a straight copy and paste. They may play
he
in
nailed
a,
it, though.
They may
he
play in it. A Crap Shack, but the team is the farthest thing from it.
Well, we interrupt this morning report.
Jeez.
Sorry, I'm going to hit this all day.
I'm going to keep it on hand. We'll be ready. Finally, a thought on the Mariners, who might be everyone's second favorite team, trying to snap a North American professional sports record of the longest drought between playoff appearances. It's been 21 years since the Seattle Mariners played meaningful baseball in the month of October. This team trying to rewrite the long, painful history for Mariners fans, and they seemingly have found a new superstar. They paid him like one in Julio Rodriguez. His pitching staff is elite. You've got the defending Cy Young winner and former Blue Jay and old Southpaw tight pants, Robbie Ray. Logan Gilbert, solid in the middle game against Chicago. The bullpen, one of the best in the American League. Their catcher, Cal Raleigh, has been a major part to the success of the staff as well. But offensively, how about this? A breakout year in his first full season at the major league level. Leads the AL catchers in home runs. He's first in slugging. He's second in extra base hits and tied for third in RBIs. And defensively, he's third among AL catchers in defensive runs saved. He's having a great year. He and the Mariners battle Atlanta this weekend.
I'm sold. I'm picking him up on my fantasy baseball team right now.
Hey, when you can get a catcher,
that you can get Cal Raleigh.
That rakes. Yeah, and also Ooh, if
dude,
you can get Cal.
Let me tell you who my catcher is.
Is it Russell Martin?
Your boy Sean Murphy on Oakland. Ooh. I picked because I drafted Gary Sanchez. Long story short, been sort of a Yankees fan. I don't know, Yankees Jays fan, but I was loving the move to Minnesota. But he strikes out every at bat, so I picked up Sean Murphy like 2 months ago, and this guy's been ripping. But he's on. You talk about crap shacks. Go look where Oakland plays, and we saw what transpired there a couple
one.
Weeks ago too. You know what I'm saying?
You could fit all of their fans in a single crap shack.
They don't actually watch the game there, if you know what I'm saying.
The crap shot comes out in the dugout.
Okay. Let's switch it up. How about the U.S. Open? The men's semifinals go today. Hooray. Karen Khachanov of Russia, the 27th seed. He'll battle Casper Ruud of Norway at 1 o'clock. Ruud being the favorite. He's the 5th seed. Later, it's the 3 seed Carlos Alcaraz Garcia of Spain. He'll face the home American, ooh, Francis Tiafoe, the 22nd seed. That crowd that, is going to
this
be
this match is
going
to be amazing.
Is it?
Well, if you see Alcaraz, that match, he just came off like the second longest match in U.S. Open history.
Well, he had the 5 set with 2 long tiebreakers in it.
Behind his back shot. Oh, Alcaraz Tiafoe. Oh, that's going to be fun.
That, I think they said 5 o'clock, but you never know with the tennis schedule how things work.
Is this the Wii tennis music?
Yeah, yep. Dude, this is the Wii Sports. This is a new thing here on the Morning Show that we're doing for tennis and golf.
Okay,
I hope you like it.
I like it.
Yeah. It's pretty gentle, right?
It's nice.
Yeah. The women's final is set after yesterday. Ons Jabeur won in straight sets, so the 5th-seeded Tunisian is through. She'll battle the 1st-seed Iga Swiatek of Poland in the final on Saturday after they both move through on Thursday. And it was the first round of the LPGA Kroger Queen City Championship in Cincinnati as the golf season continues for the ladies.
Swing through the ball and wherever we try to go find it. That would probably be the best idea for me.
4 Canadians in the field. The top Canadian is Madame LeBlanc after her first round. A 69, so 3 under. She's 5 strokes back of the leader. Elena Sharp, 2 under. Brooke Henderson, 1 under. And Maddie Zarek, even after all of them, had completed their opening rounds back on Thursday. Zarek is even. And lastly, a little bit of CPL action this weekend.
Football is life.
Tommy Wheeldon Jr. and Cavalry FC are in Hamilton to battle Forge FC tomorrow. That'll go at 3 o'clock. Just a few games left in the regular season. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. also going to join us around 8:30, midway through hour number 3, to talk a little bit of Cavalry. Do you know what this bet is from, Patty Dumas? Turn it up a little bit, Brody.
Turn it up, Alec.
No? FIFA.
Oh, which one?
Soccer. I don't know. I don't play the game.
Oh. Okay.
That's it.
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
That's the morning report. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors. Quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street, Southeast. Around the corner, I got some questions for Nick Alberga. We're going to get into all this work he's talking about. And,
quotations.
Air quotes.
We interrupt this morning report.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh.
So let's ram it today.
Ram it. Ram it, baby. The NFL season's underway. The morning report is in the books. And around the corner, we're talking some fantasy hockey right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.